Welcome back. You're on Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You might have heard a couple of reports already. Damien prepared while he was in the other hemisphere, thanks to the Asia Foundation. What is it called? The Asia New Zealand Foundation.
Yeah. I mean, they say in the dairy industry, all good things take time. That's the only excuse I can think of as to why this report. In December, I went to Pakistan. It's now June. So this is the last of these reports from overseas, though, maybe to say. While I was in Lahore, I was looking at sustainable energy, but something took me into the dairy industry. The Pakistan Dairy Development Company is a not-for-profit organisation set up by the government. So I went along to talk to some people there. I was very surprised when I got there, though, to find out the whole place is being run by Kiwis. So I thought I'd find out some more.
Nestlé meeting we had on Saturday morning, several things came out of that which will affect us all. Apart from a lot of discord and the fact that they don't like us very much, and Roland, the departing CEO, thinks we're a waste of space and not achieving a whole lot. We'd all have been fired if we were working for him. Once we got past there,
It's slightly surreal to sit at this morning meeting of New Zealanders and Australians, former dairy farmers and dairy executives, and realise that we're actually in Lahore. Pakistan is the fourth largest milk producing country, with over 50 million animals. But each Pakistani cow produces only just a quarter of the milk of her Kiwi equivalent, which is why people like Jeff Walker are here.
I've been here 18 months. I'm the first chief executive, so the company is new. So we've been getting programs established. We've had funding for two programs only. We've just received, just 10 minutes ago, news of additional funding to do a whole lot more programs. But it's a fairly challenging environment to get with the banks in the first instance, to work with them to get the necessary loans that our programs require, to get contractors who can actually do the work at the sufficient quality, sufficient pace, is extremely challenging.
Are the farmers themselves keen to work quite hard to improve their lot?
That's a very good question. It's remarkable, actually, that what tends to happen is that even with somebody with four animals would have a certain status in the community, and even at that size, their tendency is to actually employ people to actually do the work for them. So the family farm, in terms of the New Zealand system, it just basically does not exist. So they have labourers who have got very poor education standards. The farmer may or may not be on the land himself to see what is happening. So to implement change is, again, I love that word, challenge.
What is the average size? I mean, you say four cows. What is the average size of a farm over here?
The average is probably around about two.
Two cows?
Two buffalo in the main.
That's talk about economies of scale. I mean, that must be the absolute opposite of economies of scale.
Yes, that's quite right. Our mission to a certain extent is about relative improvement. So we aren't so concerned in the programs we've got running at the moment, we're not so concerned about absolute performance. We're about trying to make a difference in terms of the people's lives, poverty alleviation, things like that. So even for someone with two to three animals, we can help them increase their productivity and profitability.
Of course, one of the benefits of working where there's such poor productivity is that it doesn't take a lot to start seeing the results, as Jeff explains.
Yeah, when we work with individual farmers, we are getting results 25, 35, sometimes 100%, and I just heard this morning of a case of 300% increase in yield in the space of 1 or 2 weeks by the simple things of giving the animals water and better feed. So very, very basic, but that's where the situation is today. That's what needs to be addressed. So it's actually wonderful to see, and the farmers love us.
If it sounds as much about aid and development work as it does about dairy farming, you'd be right. Bill Stevenson is the GM of farm production at PDDC, and together with his wife Mary, has spent many a year working in places such as Peru and Bolivia.
Yes, it's not the first third world country I've been in. First time I've been in a Muslim world, and something I had no understanding of when I came here. it's not a problem. It's actually the people are wonderfully friendly and everything is very, very good. There are aspects of it which I find strange, but they no doubt would say the same going to New Zealand, so you've got to temper that. Peru and Bolivia, very different background situations. The whole common element is the third world country, the fact that you can't ring up and you have a truckload of premixed concrete arrive on the site at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Those are things that we grapple with. The logistics of actually building a simple fence here in this country are huge. People here have never built a post and rail or a wire fence. It's all bricks, and it's all bricks and mortar and concrete. So when we came here and started introducing a pipe, galvanised pipe rail fence around a cattle yard, we had to teach the people to dig the hole, we had to teach them how big a hole to dig, and we had to, all these issues, which are totally unexpected. If you're coming from Australia or New Zealand, you think, well, you know, we'll put a fence there, bang, it'll be there tomorrow. It's not. It doesn't work that way.
It's not surprising it's hard to get much done, as Lahore seems to be in a permanent state of traffic jam. With its anarchic multi-lane traffic, everyone honking for any apparent reason, while prayer calls sound from local mosques, we couldn't be further from the green fields of Waikato or Fairlie. Bill says the local farms are just as much of a culture shock.
Well, I think the surreal kicks in when you get out in the country and you're finding the whole culture here is so very, very different. We've got a big enough group here now, so that socially and every other way, we're pretty independent if we choose to be. But when you get out on the job, the surreal kicks in. I mean, it's amazing to see how people are struggling out there. You've got the Muslim faith, of course, with its gender imbalance and the different roles of men and women in the farm. We never see on a farm, never see the women of the family. We're always invited to teas and biscuits and lunches and things, always provided by men, and the women are cooking somewhere in the background, but you never meet them. It's, if I go with my wife into the field, it's different. She's able to mingle and mix with the women, but as a rule, we don't see them, although we know they do a lot of the work on the farm, so it's a gap.
The company is doing its bit to address gender issues too, offering special projects to help women on farms and working with NGOs addressing rural women's issues. And while the blokes outnumber Sheila's by a fair bit at the PDDC, there are a few around.
I'm Jackie Legg and I'm Assistant Project Manager down at O'Kara Military Farms, and my husband's the Project Manager down there.
Whereabouts do you hail from?
I come from Blackmount in Western Southland. Our farm name's Montague.
What was the biggest challenge for you coming over here, the hardest thing to get used to, either, you know, work-wise and otherwise?
Work-wise, not a problem. You're still taking your skills that you use in New Zealand. They can go anywhere in the world. The biggest challenge is food. Getting used to food.
And getting sick from food?
Yes, because that's why my husband isn't here today.
And what about as a woman here in a Muslim country?
I don't find it a problem. Today I'm dressed Western. Most days I actually am dressed Pakistani, basically because it's comfortable and cool in the summer. And even on the farm I dress Pakistani, but I find I have no problem with the men. And I personally haven't had a problem.
Apparently, unlike the men that work here, you've actually got to meet some of the local women, is that right?
That's right, yeah. And one of the ladies here summed it up really well. She said, Kiwis and Aussies and the other woman in the West, they have choices. And the Pakistani ladies, it's a life of compromise. And I think, yeah.
What's the women's role on the farm here?
They tend to clean the yards. They carry away the dung in baskets on their head. They milk the cows. They feed the cows. While the men chat.
Someone told me that if you can't afford a donkey, you use your wife. And as soon as you can afford a donkey, you get a donkey. And that sort of, you know, is that something that you've seen?
It is. Yeah. Those girls on the farms work day and night, from daylight till they can't see anymore. Yeah, so yeah, it's true.
In case you're wondering whether any Pakistanis work for the company, well, yes, they do. And on that note, it seems appropriate to leave the last word from Pakistan to one of the company's development managers, who's just been working on a biogas project for the local farms.
My name is Parveen Aslam, and I am working here as a development manager in technical department of Pakistan Dairy Development Company. We have installed our first biogas plant at Swandri, district Faisalabad. It was our prototype plant. And it is functioning very successfully. Because biogas plant is not a big science. There's no rocket science is involved in that.
Do you enjoy your work?
Yeah.
And that's the last of Damien's reports from Pakistan and Afghanistan. You had a ball up there, didn't you?
I had a great time, yeah. And it'll be really interesting, particularly in Pakistan, to see how the impact of these guys are going to have on the dairy industry, really. They've got the potential to turn that around incredibly. So.
And this is news we need right now with the prospect of everybody going short of food and for food and nutrition.
Yes, and also maybe getting those dairy prices down worldwide.
Anyway, time for an ad break. We'll be back after that with Jill Marshall talking about the sponsored residency she's offering at the Michael King Writers' Centre.